Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA.
Welcome to our April 18th, 2019 podcast.
Casinos USA's 60-second podcast.
And our spotlight focus to begin our podcast is women and gambling. And hey, by the way, Janie brought in a quiz for you. If you're a man, and it killed me, but she gives all the explanations. So hey, here's my partner, Janie. We'll be right back. Well, Coach Fab believes he knows a lot about casino gambling and gambling in general before all these casinos were legalized all over the country. But boy, I found out after Janie's quiz, I don't know a whole lot about women gamblers, women in gambling, and that's our focus. Here's Janie.
Hi, this is Jane. I found a quiz on the Vegas Masters website that I gave to Coach Fab, and it crushed him. He didn't do well. So I have it here. It's a quiz about women and gambling, and it's true or false. And these are questions for our listeners, and especially men. Number one, women gamble less than men. How did you answer?
I answered that as true.
Okay. Well, it's false. Although the gap between the number of men and women gamblers is narrowing and is as low as it has ever been, young men continue to gamble more than women. That being said, among gamblers ages 45 to 64, women outnumber men.
So it's the middle-aged women that are really the reason that you can't say that women gamble less than men. I stand corrected.
All right, and the source of this is ncpgaming.org. It's ncpgambling.org. Okay, number two. Only older ladies gamble. How'd you answer?
I said that was false. I got that one right.
Okay, it is. Although women tend to start gambling at a later age than men, according to The Independent, a growing number of women under the age of 35 are engaging in online gambling, and this number is increasing annually. Source for this is independent.com. Okay, number three. Women are less vulnerable to gambling addiction.
I thought that was false. My thinking was it's probably the same for both genders.
Okay, it is false. Women and men are about equal in terms of their vulnerability to gambling addiction. In some cases, men are at a greater risk, and in others, women. For instance, a study conducted in Sweden found that women are at a greater risk than men for becoming addictive gamblers when it comes to gambling in multiple domains. Now, you want to explain multiple domains?
Well, I guess that considers online gaming. That's probably the case. But do you have some stories about our local area here in Pittsburgh and women and gamblers becoming addicted?
Well, yeah, it seems that for a while there, every few months we were reading in the paper that women were arrested because they were embezzling either from businesses where they were accountants or bookkeepers or even cafeteria workers at some schools and even some nuns.
Well, that never happened in Pittsburgh until there was casino gambling in Pittsburgh. But since then...
I guess. And you know, when these women were questioned as to why... it was usually to cover gambling.
Okay.
Okay, and the source for that is ncbi.nlm.nih.gov. Okay, number four. Women's favorite gambling activity is bingo. I'm sure you answered that false.
I did answer that false, but I tell you what, before legalized gambling, I probably would have said true.
Oh, right. It is false, and it says that while bingo is definitely one of the top gambling game favorites of women and is often associated with the gender, a UK survey showed that bingo ranked as the fifth most popular gaming activity for women. But I agree with you. That was the only real gaming that could be done even in Pittsburgh, you know, because there weren't casinos around, but now they're everywhere.
All right.
And the source for that is theguardian.com. Number five, women tend to avoid going to land-based casinos alone.
I missed this one.
But you said false.
I said false, yeah.
That's true. Women prefer to gamble online because they prefer the anonymity it affords them. Women feel far more intimidated, judged, and exposed in a land-based betting establishment, particularly when they are alone.
Okay, so, you know, certain things about casinos aren't safe for men or women, you know, parking garages, etc. But I can understand that a woman would fear that more than a man.
Although I have to say to you, so many times when we're at casinos, you and I separate ways, and I'm alone a lot of times. Now, you're in the building or the hotel. You're around. I'm not there totally alone, but I am pretty much on my own, and I have never, fortunately, had any issues. So,
well, let me ask you, did you go to a casino ever by yourself?
No.
All right, well.
No, I've never driven or gone by myself. I have gone when you stayed up in a room or you did some other activity, played golf or something, and I was there, or, you know, you went to the pool and I didn't. So I can say I have been in a casino alone and gambled alone. So, this one's a little iffy to me. Okay, number 6. Women play more slot machines than men.
Well, I said yes.
Oh, yeah, I think that goes without saying. I think table games are pretty much still male-dominated. And now with the sports betting becoming legal all over, I think that's really changed it. And women definitely are more into the slots. Which brings us to number 7. Women are less likely to bet on sports.
I got that right, and that's because of my standing in line at the Rivers for the basketball season and the NCAA tournament for both men and women, that 98% of the line is comprised of males.
Okay, the answer is true, and it's sports betting still male-dominated. Men are more likely to take part in activities like football pools, horse racing, and dog racing. The source for this is gamblingcommission.gov.uk. Number 8, women are less interested in poker than men.
I said false, but I can see now that the answer is true, and you can explain why.
The vast majority of female gamblers are not as interested in poker as their male counterparts. On the whole, women gamblers tend to have lower participation in skill-based gambling activities. Of course, there are exceptions to every rule.
Well, I do know that more and more, there's female poker players becoming increasingly famous. I guess that's the way I'll word it.
Right. I think that's true. I think that this will change. I don't see this standing for a long time. Okay, the source for that was responsiblegambling.vic.gov.au. Number 9, women prefer online casinos.
I just guessed at that, and I said false, but the answer is?
True, but I would have definitely said false. Who are these women? Women feel safer, more comfortable, and more in control at online casinos compared to land-based casinos. Women online gambling participation is growing, but men still make up the majority of online gamblers. Now, the source of this is internet gambling, current research findings, and implications. I'm having a hard time.
Well, I think it has to be true, because if you're saying women alone don't want to go to casinos unless they're with other women or men, then one thing they can do completely alone is gamble online. That must make sense that way.
Well, they can do that alone, but I've run into a lot of women, especially in other states, that go with another woman or go with their lady friends.
But they're saying that women feel safer when doing it.
I guess. I don't know. I've never done online gambling, so it's hard for me to, you know, believe that one anyway. Number 10, most women are escape and recreational gamblers.
When I looked at that, I thought that's true for both men and women.
That's what I was thinking right now. And it's true. An estimated 95% of women are escape and recreational gamblers engaging in games such as slots, video poker, lottery, and bingo. Gambling can be used as a way to escape from life and to soothe, distract, and lower stress.
I talk about our podcast being for recreational gamblers, So that's both for men and women.
There are very few that aren't recreational.
Yeah, there are some women who are professional gamblers, particularly on the poker circuit.
Right, there are.
But I think overall, men and women are escape and recreational gamblers.
Right. Some women use gambling as a way to cope and forget overwhelming emotions and troubles, but I think so do men. In other words, there are more professional gamblers who are men than women.
I thought the next question was the easiest one.
More women gamble today than they ever did before. Well, I think that's just common sense because it's true. The rise in states with legalized gambling, and there's 40, and that's led to a rise in female gamblers.
Yeah, I think it's here to stay, that's for sure. Increasingly, more and more people are going to gamble of either gender.
Well, that's true. I mean, before, if you didn't have gambling in your state, you might have to travel 2-3 states over. You might have a 300-400 mile trip before you could gamble like that.
Hey, Janie, before you go, I want to talk about, there is a new casino on the books being, actually, it's a done deal. It's going to take place at the southern end of the strip. And we've seen this view from Mandalay Bay. You look down, and do you remember the hotel that you looked down on?
I certainly do. It was the Motel 8, and it still is. It's still there. It's going to remain operational until spring of 2020, and that's when construction is going to begin. So the last new casino to open on the Strip was back in 2010. It was the Cosmopolitan.
Well, what's this one? What's it going to be called? Is there a name?
The Astral. So I imagine it's probably going to have some kind of astrophysical kind of presence, space, like I'm thinking, well, out of this world.
The location on the Strip makes sense only because of the construction of
the stadium, the Raiders Stadium. Yes, we think that all these hotels out there with 4,000 rooms and so on, that seems like an excess. But when you have the Raiders going to be there, now that you have the hockey team there too, when there's conventions going on and activities at both, gets crowded.
Well, I think M Life's in a great situation, but this is not an M Life property. I think this is a foreign investment, but I can understand why people would want to build there because that's the future of Las Vegas. You know, and the same thing's true in Pittsburgh. Look where they put the casino, right next to the stadiums.
Well, I might add too, this one isn't going to be it's only going to have 620 rooms. It's going to have a 4-level underground parking garage, a sky lobby on the 32nd floor, a nightclub and a rooftop pool with a day club. So I'm sure it'll be well attended in it because of its proximity to everything else there. Well, that's it for me today. I'll just say goodbye and enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Hey, well, thank you, Jenny. Appreciate your input and your research. Very interesting questions. Kind of a curious quiz. Hope I can do better next time. Okay, we'll take a short break and we'll come back, but we'll be continuing with women and gambling. Hey, so you're pretty good in gambling? Well, let me give you the names of four women that, if you want to win money, don't sit down and play poker with them. And the first one's a graduate of Yale University, Vanessa Selbist. She's won $11 million in poker tournament winnings. I'll repeat that, $11 million in poker tournament winnings. Kathy Liebert, Vanessa Russo, and the online gambling queen at the age of 27, online poker killer, Annette Obrestad. So those are four women. Don't mess with them in the poker room, or you'll be sorry. And there are some big, big names in casino management by women. And she's is deceased since 1971, but if you've ever visited UNLV, there's a theater a student theater, performing arts theater. That's memorial to Judy Bailey. She's from the Hacienda, one of the first female CEOs of a casino in Las Vegas. Her story goes way back. And of course, presently, we have Elaine Wynn, and she's in that fight. She's in the news. That's the former wife of Steve Wynn. And Elaine's brought a whole lot of good things to the management team of the Wynn Casinos. I think I have to mention Jan Jones. She's the first female mayor of Las Vegas. She also was instrumental in the growth of Las Vegas, and particularly the Strip. You know, presently, the Ellis family in Ellis Island Casino and Brewery, the director of marketing, Christina Ellis, of course, has just done a fantastic job, you know, with her. I think her first major project was the Front Yard. That's a $10 million project. I can't wait for that to be done. The remodeling of Ellis Island, of course, I know there's a couple brothers and there are several sisters. They've done a fine job as a family. And their purchase of the Super 8 Hotel, I think that was $20 million involved in the purchase and renovation. And there was an extensive renovation done also to the casino itself in Ellis Island. That family, their purchase of the brewery, restaurant, casino, Mount Charleston, that's another thing. So definitely women can manage casinos and manage them very well. So when we talk about women in gambling, I think we have to say that. And then finally, you may have encountered this name, Heather Ferris. She's a dealer in Las Vegas and on Fremont Street. And she's done so much just to help women and help men to get into the casino business as a dealer. She has free training online. She's also an instructor at UNLV. She was one of our earlier podcast guests. But Heather Ferris is also a big name right now among the dealers in Las Vegas, and she's encouraging women to get involved into the casino business. And as Janie said earlier, the presence and the influence of women in the casino industry, either as gamblers or as executives, that's just going to continue to expand. And hopefully our society gets to a point where it's not about gender, it's about the best people. And certainly many, many times the best people will be women. So let's change hats and we're going to move to craps talk, and we're going to talk about terminology in the game of craps. But someone's boss just called the show, and let me play this phone call for you.
What's happening? I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, I think we all agree there's something else we'd rather be doing tomorrow. But it's okay here at Casinos USA because every day is Saturday. All right, here we go with Craps Talk.
3, 2, 1.
Let's start with the term buy-in. And that's about how much money you're going to take to the table and convert that American currency into chips. Like, what are you taking to the table? And you're going to get all kind of advice here. Certainly the minimum bet on the table will always be a dollar, no matter if it's a $25 table. There are things you can bet for a dollar. But in terms of placing numbers, the minimum of the table is important, because if it's a $5 table, that means if you want to place bet the 4, the 5, the 9, or the 10, it's a minimum of $5. And the way craps numbers work, 6 or 8 then would be a minimum of $6. So if you go to a $10 table, then the minimum bet on the 4, the 5, the 9, or the 10 would be $10. And a minimum bet on the 6 and 8 would be $12. Minimum bet also involves how much money you're going to put on the pass line or the don't pass line. $5 table, you're welcome to put $5. $10 table, you're required to put at least $10. And of course, you can put more at a $5 table or a $10 table, but that's the minimum bet. And many casinos will also require you to do the same thing with odds behind the pass line or odds on the don't pass. They have to be more than a minimum amount required at the table. So this is big, and that determines, in my way of thinking, how much money you should take to a table. Now, obviously, the less money that you have, the sooner you can get knocked out of the game. And I would suggest to you that if you're going to buy in for $60, $80, $100, you have to be very cautious how you bet. Or otherwise, I'm not saying you won't win, but otherwise, you could easily be knocked out in 2 or 3 minutes. Let's say, for example, you don't put any money on the pass line, but Once the point is established, you place every number. You go across for $32 minimum bet. You don't put any extra money on the point. You just place it as a number. So you would have $5 on the 4, 5, 9, and 10. That's $20. And you'd be required to put 6 and 6 on the 6 and 8. That's $12. So the minimum bet you could do if you wanted to place all the numbers would be $32. And, you know, you might be thinking, well, I'll get one hit and then I'll go off, or two hits and then I'll go off. But the possibility is that the next roll will be a 7, and you're down $32. So that's, if you bought in for $100, that's almost one-third of your stake. And you've been in the game, you know, less than a minute. So it's interesting, but I've gone to a table with $60 and won money. And I've gone to a table with $60 and didn't last too long. I was doing something else, probably going to an ATM. But I very seldom would go in to a craps game with less than $300. At a $5 table, I'd prefer $400 or $500. Excuse me, at a $10 table, I'd prefer $400 or $500. But at a $5 table, you know, I'm pretty happy to go in for $300. Once you go above that, $15 table or $25 table, I think you're talking $600 to $1,000 to feel pretty secure about it. Now, does that mean you're going to lose it? No, your loss limit can certainly be much less than your buy-in. I wouldn't advise you to say, well, I'm going to play here till I lose it all. You know, let's say you go into a game for $400 and your loss limit for that particular game is $250. So what you're saying is, once I lose $250, I'm out of this game. You know, I might play again later today or tomorrow, but I'm not going to lose more than $250 in any particular game that I play. That's just one way to be understand. So the first term would be buy-in. That's the amount of money that you take to a craps table to start a game, and you convert that into chips. And the second term would be loss limit. Your loss limit is personal. You decide that. Now, just too many people, no matter what they take to the table for a buy-in, they'll play till they lose it all. And I think that's a foolish thing to do. I'm not saying that things don't change. You know, I'm not saying you should quit right away and start to lose money. But what I am saying is you might want to think about altering your strategy if you're losing. So first two terms, buy-in and loss limit. You know, one of the questions that comes up very often is, when you do buy in at a craps game, like, when do you buy in? And I would just put it this way. If someone's on a long shoot, you don't buy in then. You buy in when there's a delay in the game. That's probably my best advice for you. After a point is made, if there's a delay in terms of the dealers paying people off, you can quickly put the money on the table, you know, your $200, your $300, your $100 bill, your 320s, and say, I want to come in. If you have a player's card, you put that with it. You can't hand it to a dealer, but you can put it down in front of her, in front of him, and they'll react to it in due time. Just be quiet. But don't interrupt a throw, a toss, a successful run. Don't interrupt it. It has to be a major delay for you to buy in. And of course, it only makes sense after a point is made. That's when you do that. If there's a delay or if somebody sevens out, that's even a better time to buy in because you're not affecting the roll at all. So I'll leave it up to you. Just don't make the mistake of interrupting somebody who's on a roll. And boy, because people will assume, for better or for worse, that you are the cause of the seven out. All right, our next term is a phrase, actually. Betting with the dice, also called betting right. Betting with the dice or betting right. What does that mean? Well, the player that's betting with the shooter, and you're saying that the shooter will make her point and win, that's a pass line play. That's what betting with the dice is. So you are a right way player if you're betting that way. It doesn't mean that it's the right way to bet. It's just a craps word or phrase, rather. If you're a right way player, you're betting with the dice. All right, well, just the opposite. If you're betting against the dice, you're betting that the player will not make her established point. So if somebody hits a 7 before they hit their established point, all the right way players lose, and the wrong way players, those betting against the dice, win. So wrong way players bet against the dice, right way players bet with the dice. And, you know, to be honest, the majority of people who play craps play from the pass line, and they're right way players, they bet with the dice. I do both. I also have a system of play, I'm not the only one, that involves betting wrong but also placing numbers. So it's sort of a hybrid system because you do a little bit of pass line and you do a little bit of down pass at the same time. But anyway, those are the terms. Betting with the dice, betting against the dice, betting right, betting wrong. All right, let's move on. All right, now you might be thinking, like, who's actually running this game? You know, the stick man, the dealers on the other side of the table. Well, the seated casino employee at the center of the table, they're between the two standing dealers who supervise the craps game, is referred to as the boxman. And he or she is the only person at the craps table working for the casino that is seated, the boxman. And of course, they're going to make the final call on whether a bet should be paid or not. If there's something controversial about the bet, I mean, did you place it too long? That kind of thing. So it's the boxman that is the boss of the casino table. Also, you might see on the casino felt no call bets. And so, like, what's a no call bet? It's confusing. But this one, it's just that they will not accept bets made verbally before you put chips on the table. So, you know, you can see why. You know, somebody would say, give me a 6 for $60, and then a 7 comes up, and so you would have lost, and they try to get away. They never give you cash. So call bets are not accepted. You have to place the money on the table while you're making the bet. You know, put the $60 down and say, here's $60, place the 6. That's what we're talking about. Call bet is a verbal bet, and most casinos do not permit you to make those. Once the point has been established, so there's a come out roll. Okay, that come out roll is a new game roll.
Pucks are on the outside of the numbers, and we're heading into the come out roll. Again, the pucks are outside of the numbers.
When somebody rolls on that first roll, on the come out roll of a new game, they roll a 4, a 5, a 6, an 8, a 9, or a 10. All right. Then the puck is moved to that number, turned over, and it's white. And there's one on either side, you know, with the numbers. So what are people talking about when they say the odds bet behind the line? Well, they're talking about really is the best bet in craps, more or less. You have, let's say you have, you're at a $5 table, you have $5 on the pass line, and the number that's rolled is a 9. So now the puck is moved to the 9. 9 is the established point. And to win as a pass line player, the shooter has to make the 9 and roll the 9 before they roll a 7. If they roll a 7, you lose, and people who bet against the dice win. But you're betting with the dice because you're, you know, betting as a pass line. So what you do is when that 9 is established, you put odds behind your pass line bet. And $10 always works. I tell beginners, don't worry about it. Just make a $10 odds bet, but you don't have to. You can make less of a bet at a $5 table. A 5 or a 9 bet has to be an even number, so you can use $6. $6 wins $9 on the 5 or 9. But why they say it's the best bet in the casino is the casino is paying you the true odds of someone making a 9, and so they're not
creating an artificial house edge. It's fair.
That's what it should be. So, and they have no advantage on that bet. You know, it's a fair bet. It's a 50-50 bet. It doesn't mean that someone's going to make it, but in terms of payout, it's one of the best bets in the casino. The odds bet behind the line. And as you know, if you're familiar with the craps felt, there's no specific place that says odds bet.
You just put it not on the pass line, but off the pass line, behind the bet on the pass line. And that's what we're talking about. You can also put lay odds on your dome pass, and they go actually alongside or on top of the way it's arranged. It's hard to talk about without a drawing or a photograph. But you can, the stick man will arrange it for you, or one of the dealers will arrange it for you, rather. So you can put odds on the dome pass too, but the payouts there are determined again by what number. So I often put $30 on the dump pass, and if the established point is a 10 or a 4, I only would win $15 on that dump pass line odds bet. So that's because it's more likely that a 7 be rolled before a 4 or a 10. If the point number was a 5 or a 9, the odds bet on a dome pass, I would win $20 if somebody sevened up before that 5 or a 9. And if the point number was a 6 or an 8, the established point number, and people are rolling dice, and before they roll a 6 or an 8, they roll a 7, I would win $25 on that $30 bet. That those dome pass odds, and whatever the number is, always pays you less than the actual bet. When you reverse it, and you're betting behind a line on the pass line, you always make more than you actually bet. But remember, there's more ways to make a 7 than any other number. So statistically, once the point is established, the advantage flips to the don't pass line. The advantage flips to the don't pass because there's more ways to make a 7 than to make a 4, a 10, or a 5, or a 9, or a 6, or an 8. Now, you remember on the come-out roll, a 7 wins for you if you're a pass line player. But if you're thinking about after the established point, then the pass line has a little higher hill to climb. But, you know, it certainly can be made. I mean, people make point after point after point sometimes. Just because there's a slight edge, doesn't mean that, you know, you should play one way or the other, you know? That's the great game. That's a great thing about this game of craps. You can win on either side, and it's not determined by a computer chip. It's determined by the roll of dice. Well, I thought it would just be a wise thing to, in craps talk, to occasionally review some of the basic terms of craps, and I certainly don't want to make a list of 25, 30, 40 terms and do it all at once. I think this way it'd be easier for you to recall. I thought the big concept for us today was betting with the dice or betting against the dice. Most importantly, new players have little concept of what we're talking about when we say that way. Or if you hear somebody say you're a right way player or a wrong way player, if you're a wrong way player, they're not telling you you're playing stupidly. The term is that you're on the dumb pass line and you're betting against the dice. Right. Okay, hope that's all makes some sense to you. Hey, before we go, Janie had mentioned to me that the Astral is the name of the casino that's going to be built where Motel 8 is on the strip across from Mandalay Bay. Be a new casino, and that construction will start in 2020. But she mentioned to me that we stayed at the Cosmopolitan shortly after it was built. The Cosmo, we were one of the first ones there in the opening weeks. So I think what she's saying is she wants to stay at the Astral in the opening weeks in 2020, which is fine with me. All right. Okay, hope you enjoyed today's show. Remember, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is what we're all about. And Casinos USA is a place where every day is Saturday. See you in a couple weeks. So long.